The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this week, we welcome back Dave Proctor on the show. Those of you who listen to Columbia Calling, and this is episode 237. But he was last on episode 195, almost exactly a year ago. And why is he back on? Well, he's back on with his boss, Brian Murphy, the creator of the La Leyenda de El Dorado, or the Legend of El Dorado, but I think they prefer the Spanish, Leyenda de El Dorado, mountain bike race, multi-stage, multi-day race, which is going from strength to strength. This is the third year that it's been running, and they've got significant sponsors. I've seen them in the press, the Colombian press. It's pretty awesome, in truth. So that's why we're back, and you know, we've got to celebrate these successes by like-minded folk, people who are out here in Colombia doing something and improving Colombia, let's say, improving the opportunities to sell Colombia to the outside world in a positive manner. I see this mountain biking as an incredible potential in Colombia, which Brian and Dave, of course, have harnessed. So let's just say quickly hello to Brian Murphy, who's on the line in Cali.
Good morning, Richard. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well. It's a great pleasure to speak to you. We've spoken on various occasions, but let me just say congratulations on this coming up in a couple of weeks now, the third edition of La Leyenda del Dorado mountain bike, multi-stage mountain bike race.
It's a bit of a mouthful when you're looking at that. Firstly, Richard, very kind words with your intro there. Yes, we've made great progress since last year, or since the first year's race, and we always appreciate you giving us your valuable airtime on what such an incredibly good program that promotes Colombia in such a positive manner. So we appreciate that, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, we are only 2 weeks away from our third installment of La Leyenda, and we're ready. It's a very, very busy time for all the team. We're working absolutely flat out to make sure that the 21 representatives of countries around the world that come to our race have an experience of a lifetime. And as we've said many occasions before, Richard, is what we want to do is give Colombia a positive spin in the media. And as you mentioned earlier, our national media campaign has worked very, very well this year. I think this year, and Dave might touch on it a little bit later in the details, I think we've got around about 50 different media folks in and around this year's race, which can only be a great thing for Colombia, both at a national level, but more importantly, on an international level, to bring those folks to the country that we love.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you've been here a long time. I've been here a long time. Dave's been here a long time. It's how we can give something back. But you're getting this media coverage, and it must give you an enormous sense of well-being. You know, something. What you've done is getting out there. You know, the first year, I don't know if, let's say, the big newspapers or media outlets here in Colombia were particularly interested. But 3 years in, they're sitting up to take notice.
Yeah, I think that from a team perspective, I think that probably had expectations that we would get more national coverage than we necessarily did, but we had to readjust what it is that we're doing, how we were doing it. So after year one, we started to prepare different information. We looked around to see what was available, what advice we could get, but no, absolutely, Richard. I'm extremely proud, and I can speak for the whole of the team, that you know, from my perspective, and Dave and Rowan as well, Rowan being the race director, the guy that designs the pain that everyone goes through for the week's rides, but to be adopted and to be given the opportunity to promote Columbia with something that is so wonderful, that's an honour and a privilege. And as you mentioned, with the media coverage now, with the national press and international press, I think this year we've got a team of folks coming over from NHK Japan, which is a Japanese TV station that produces content in 18 languages across the world. I mean, I was speaking to my brother the other day about that, Mark, who used to work in Kenya. They even translate into Swahili. So we'll be getting the race out to Africa, which is obviously a key market for us. Obviously, Asia is a huge market for us. So the international press is doing really well, and the Colombian national press, I think that, to use your word, they've woken up. They've seen that that we can deliver. We deliver quality. We deliver an outstanding race, and it's incredible. And we've had, I think we've just there's a chap called Felipe from RCN. He's quite a popular guy. He's doing a documentary for RCN. I met him a few weeks ago in Bogota. So yeah, we definitely got the big nationals, as you call them, in Colombia, who are now looking at the race and looking how we can give them some content that promotes the beautiful country of Colombia.
This is excellent news, and yes, it's nice to be picked up in the country where you're living, of course, you know, so people do become aware of what you're doing, and of course Colombians, something that I would say people here can be proud of, you know, that it's their country on the front page, it's their country that's bringing over these athletes from all over the world. Give us a little bit of a breakdown. Where are these mountain bikers coming from this time?
Well, I mean, we've got 21 different countries. Predominantly, our market is South America. Obviously, our Colombian rider base is huge. The Colombian riders, and this is my opportunity to say to any of those folks that are listening, is that Colombian riders, thank you very much for the commitment they've given us to the race. Equally, before we get into some of the riders that come across and where they come from this year, is that there's a huge thank you that goes from the bottom of my heart out to Colombia, both the country and the people, because there's no way we could have delivered such a race without having those folks bought in who've helped us out. And I think, generally speaking, on race day, we have about 200 to 250 staff members in and around the race, so we can't do it without our Colombian brothers and sisters. So I take my hat off to them. It's a great news story. Folks come from all over the world, Richard, whether it be South Africa, Japan, France, Switzerland, Austria. They come from everywhere. And I think that one of the things is that the interest and creating a multi-stage mountain bike race is not an easy thing to do. There's a huge amount of risk associated to it. There's an amount of financial risk that goes with it. So I just respect everybody that's been involved, that's helped along the way, whether it be through advice, through commitment, through help, through product, through sponsorship. Absolutely amazing story, and we just want to carry on making it bigger. I think this year we're very fortunate that the reigning world cross-country marathon champion, remembering that, just a little bit of technical detail, there's two formats for mountain biking in the UCI calendar. There's the short course and there's long course, which they call cross-country. Short course can be laps around the circuit, to around about 40 kilometres, and then the cross-country, the more endurance side of the race is anything up to 110 kilometres. And that's Al McCarthy. He's the current world champion. He wears the rainbow colours on his jersey. So we're going to welcome him with open arms to Colombia next Monday when he arrives. Him and his crew and his team and his manager, we're working closely with Fontour, with Pro Colombia. We're going to show him the coffee experience up in the Calvas region and give him a little bit of insight into Colombia, which they don't get anywhere else with their races. Mm-hmm. You look at the pros and the amateurs, we go the extra mile. And I think that's one of the differences that La Leyenda is that even today I got a message from one of the team managers saying, thanking us so much for the attention to detail, giving us the information that we need, looking after us. So it's good. We're proud of that as well. We can get things right in Colombia, and we can do the right thing, and we're doing the right thing. So very, very proud of that. But to have Alvin McCarthy, the world champion, the reigning world champion, come to Colombia. If someone had said that to me, Richard, in year one, would we ever see the reigning world champion? We were lucky we had Christoph Stauder, who 5 times Cape Epic winner. He was an Olympian as well, and a world champion. But if someone had said the reigning or the current world champion, I would have probably pinched myself and said, yeah, that's a dream. And now that dream has become a reality. So even...
I have to say, I'm grinning from ear to ear about this because, you know, to have the reigning world champion come over to Colombia and compete, how did you guys get him on board? Did he come to you?
No, I'll make a long story very, very short. I was fortunate enough to ride a race in the Wines Wales 2016, just outside Stellenbosch. Uh-huh. And I met a guy there who was great friends with Christoph Stauder, who had already been to the race, a guy called Eric. And Eric, who's known as the Lion, he's a pro rider in South Africa. I got to meet him. Eventually, Eric became the race manager for Canyon Bikes based in Germany. And during this year's Cape Epic, he was racing and Lucata was racing. And, you know, I got in contact and we started talking, and it then takes, we'd always been on the cards of wanting Alban, but that's when it really started to ramp up. March this year was those conversations and getting him on board and answering all the questions. And unfortunately Eric was invited, but he can't make it, which is a great shame. But anyway, we do have the, I think before people like Alvin Lacarte, who's the reigning world champion, before they make their minds up about coming to the race, the global community for mountain biking, for endurance racing or multi-stage mountain bike racing, it's a very small community at pro level. Mm-hmm. And they do discuss, it's what they do, it's their business. They discuss races, they discuss what the challenge is, what the training would be involved. Also, particularly where it sits in the race calendar, we sit in a very sweet spot in the race calendar, in the sense that I think Alban's going to be racing here. He then does Leadville up in North America, and then he's back to the World Championships, I believe, in Italy. So it's good for the calendar this year. But they get to know races, they get to know owners, they get to know teams, and work soon gets around, which is, I think that's one of the proudest things, I'll speak on behalf of the team, is that we don't have to do a hard sell to these guys. They've heard of us. They've heard of Colombia. Everybody's intrigued with Colombia. They've ridden all over the world.
Yeah.
Whether it be North America, South America, you know, the races in South America, Europe. They've done all the top five races in the world, so on and so forth. But as soon as they hear that they've got a quality race to come and compete in, and they do compete, it's a tough challenge, it gets their interest. So we don't have to do a hard sell. We just sort of make sure that we accommodate them well, look after them well, and provide them with one of the best riding experiences possible. And that's exactly what we've done, and hence why our sponsorship has increased and our media coverage is that we're bringing big names. Alvin Lacarte, the reigning world champion, is coming to Colombia. He'll be there on the start line, he'll be riding. He'll be wanting to win it. It's going to be a really good competition this year with Colombians, the Dutch. Yeah, it's going to be a great race.
It's fantastic. Will I be able to see it on TV or anything here in Colombia?
Well, we're hoping that we're going to get the prologue stage and the final stage done with Telecafé based up there in Capitals. We're just putting the final pieces of the jigsaw together to make that a reality. Also, what we are investigating, but as you can imagine, the tough the tough thing we have to overcome is the fact that we go out into the wilds of nowhere. So connectivity, whether it be a mobile signal or cable broadband, it's very difficult. So yes, we're showing on Telecafe.
Okay.
Most of the race, there's going to be a couple of documentaries, the one by RCN, the one by NHK, the guys from Japan. And we're going to try and do something a little bit different on social media this year and try and do some little live segments here and there. But what we'll do is, obviously, through the website, is that we'll make all that information available, and it's where we'll try and do something live, maybe on one of the social media channels. But as I said before, connectivity, we always want to make sure we provide the best for any of our spectators, and if we can do that, we're sure to put it up.
And finally, because we'll wind down this segment of the show and then get into the crux and the nitty-gritty of the routes and everything that's new and all the specs that Dave can fill us in with. But finally, I know you've got various different sort of levels, you know, the amateur levels, the professional levels, and so on. Will there be a Colombian winner in any one of them?
Yeah, I'm not a person to tempt fate, but Leonardo Paez is the Colombian rider. If we go back to year one, him and his race partner were up against probably, you know, a very strong combination of Christoph Sauz and Paolo Montoya from Costa Rica. And they won the inaugural race. So, Leonardo, I don't want to tempt fate, but we've got some strong Colombian riders there. And also in other categories as well.
Uh-huh.
And there's a myriad of other categories we won't go into. But no, I think that it's going to be a good battle between Austria, Holland, and Colombia for the number one spot when we get back to Plaza Bolivar in Manizales. It's going to be a really interesting race. And as I said before, Dave will go through some of the detail around website URLs where people can actually follow us.
Mm.
But at the end of each day, it'd be well worth people checking in. It's going to go down to the wire. It's incredibly, it's amazing how races as long as this and hours where it can come down to the difference of 8 minutes on the final day over, let's say 500 kilometers and 17,000 meters of ascent over 6 days, and it comes down to 8 minutes. It's amazing how close it can be on the Avenida Santander going into Plaza Bolivar, which is Avenida Santander is our Champs-Élysées. We wanted to use a Tour de France term. It's an amazing sight to see with all the crowds along the roads watching the top pros come in. An amazing sight to see. But hey, Colombia's in a good spot.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Brian, for all of this really upbeat and information. I'm thrilled that this is going from strength to strength. And again, I say, repeating that, to have the reigning world champion to come out to, you know, your brainchild just a few years ago. It's incredible.
Sorry, Richard, on that point, I'd just like to say thank you as well. Whilst we're handing out the thank yous, is that obviously you've been with us since year one. We get to meet on a regular basis when I'm involved. I always appreciate that as well. But it's also your passion for Colombia, what you've achieved, what you've done, equally goes a long way into promoting the country that we live in and we love. So big thank you for you as well. For all your help and support.
Thank you so much. So we've been speaking to Brian Murphy in this first segment of Colombia Calling episode 237, a real success story about the La Leyenda de El Dorado mountain bike race. We're going to go into a short break and come back with Dave Proctor, who will be the guy who fills us in with the a very much on message media stats about this race. And of course, Dave has been on the show many times before. Those of you who are regular listeners will know that the last time he was on was episode 195, 1 year ago, talking about the legend of El Dorado as well. So let's just take a short break and come back with Dave. Don't go away. Thank you for listening. La canoa de Bareque, para llegar a la playa. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McColl. This is episode 237. And as you know, we've been talking about La Leyenda, the legend of El Dorado, mountain bike race in Colombia. It's been going from strength to strength over the years. It's in its third edition now. Amazing to think that only 3 years ago they started up. And now we've spoken to the race's founder, Brian Murphy, but we're now going to speak to Dave Proctor, who's kind of the media whiz, the guy behind the messages, and it's always a pleasure to have him back on Columbia Calling. So welcome back, Dave.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for having us on once again on Columbia Calling. Yeah. Like I said last year, it's always a nice reflection moment when we have these calls and you can sort of reflect on the last year and what we've done and how we've grown. And like Brian said before, it's amazing. So where we are, just we're 12 days away from the race start, so all very busy. Teams working like crazy to make sure all the stuff's printed, all the races are going to be happy, and all the registration stuff is ready. But we're nearly there, so this is, as I always say, this is it's a busy time of the year, but it's the best time of the year. We do what we do to organise an event and to welcome people from all around the world, and we're ready to do that for the third time. So bring on the next few weeks.
Amazing. Now, remind my listeners the actual date of the race.
Okay, so the race kicks off in Manizales again this year on the 29th of July. Mm-hmm. And it's 7 stages, once again, all around the Department of Caldas, in a 466-kilometre route this year. And we finish in Manizales, where we start, in the Plaza de Bolívar, on Saturday, the 4th of August.
Wow. And how, at the beginning you did sort of multi-stages across a couple, in the first ever race, a couple of departments or two departments in Colombia. Now it's all Caldas, it's all, but how have the people of Caldas, taken to the race? I'm sure they've embraced it as one of their own.
Oh yeah, it's amazing to see that. In the third year now, especially after last year, I think we had about 30,000 spectators came out to see the route. And your people from Manizales, they obviously feel very proud about the race and how we're, showcasing their city and their department, not just to Colombia, but to the rest of the world. So it's wonderful. It makes us feel very proud as well that they can, to have the sort of backing of Colombians, that we're doing a great thing for their, where they're from. And I'm sure this year the crowds will be bigger. We've got teams going out as we speak, telling people in the local towns about the race. This year we go to 4 new towns. We go to Ira, La Feliza, La Merced and Neira. So there'll be more people out welcoming the race. We'll go there and we tell all the local children about the race. And it's wonderful to when we actually have the race and it goes to these towns and you see all the thousands of children out with the flags and they want to get autographs in the races. It's really a very, very special moment and makes it all worthwhile.
Tell us something. You obviously have a race, let's say, a guy who designs the race and then you go through it and you cycle over it and you test it out and you time it and everything. Do you get approached by these towns saying, I think my town would be great to put on your map?
Yes, that does happen. Obviously, with the race and the route, we have certain logistics that we have to comply with in terms of, obviously, we've got to accommodate all the races and all the staff. So there aren't that many places we can, take the race to that have the capacity, to accommodate 400 people. But we are always open to listening to where we can take the race. Last year, we finished our stage four last year, finished just outside Neira. And this year we're actually finishing stage four in Neira because we thought, it's great to go to another town. The mayor and the alcaldía of Neira, they came to us and they said, if you bring the race here, we can ensure that we have thousands of people out on the street. We can provide all the logistics you need. So, that's great for us. It's good for the people of Neira and the other towns that we go to. We would like to take the race to even more places over the coming years. It just depends on logistics and where we can go. And we're always looking for new locations. It's good for us to vary the route each year. That's one of the first things racers ask when they think about signing up is, what's the route going to be like this year? Obviously, we know Colombia is a stunning country, and you can go to any one of the departments in Colombia, you'd have a stunning race. But logistically, we have to, you know, we have to think about certain things first. And I mean, we're already thinking about the route for 2019, and we've already planned the World Championship route in 2021, which is was an incredible piece of news that we received in February, that the Leyenda team will organise a marathon mountain bike World Championships in 2021 in the Caldas area too.
Wow. I mean, and that's all on the back of your successes.
Yes, it's wonderful to see that we've obviously got a very good reputation over the last few years of organising a good race that's well organised and with great media coverage, loads of spectators, high-profile riders, and to receive the backing or the backing of the UCI, you know, the world governing body for cycling, and that they have the confidence in us to organise a World Championships, the first time such an event will ever be held in South America, is yeah, wonderful, wonderful feeling.
Now, you were, if I'm not mistaken, was it last year that you were certified by the UCI?
Yes, in 2017 we were what they call an S2 race.
Mm.
So the UCI have different categories of races for depending on how high profile the race is. So we were S2 in 2017, and this year for 2018 they promoted us to S1. So that's nice to know that they obviously approve what we've been doing and how the race has grown. So yeah, we're S1 this year, and I think there's one more rung on the ladder, so that's the plan for the next few years, to get that top level of backing, which I believe only two races in the world have, and yeah, the World Championships is sort of the cherry on the top for it.
Fantastic. Now Brian said in the first segment, you know, he spun off some numbers like 17,000 meters of ascent and almost 500 kilometers. Well, you told us it was 464 or something. When you're a race of this nature, you know, forgive my ignorance on mountain bike racing. Fascinating stuff, but not something I follow too closely. I have to say, you're the only mountain bike race I actually follow or know about. But are there limits to the distance and the amount of days? I mean, could you actually, you say it's like a 5-day or a 7-day multi-stage race. Could you increase that?
The biggest race in the world, from what I'm aware of, is 8 stages.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure there are races that are generally around 4, 5, 6, 7 stages. That seems to be the accepted level. I'm sure as mountain biking grows, people will, you know, develop longer races. Maybe, who knows, like a Tour de France, 3-week race eventually. The main thing for us is it has to be achievable for the riders.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have, you know, 10-15% of our riders are professionals, and they race around the world, but the vast majority of our races are amateurs. So if you're an amateur, you can't just take 3 weeks off work to do a mountain bike race. So 1 week is a good balance. The stages, so on average, what the stages are around 70, 80 kilometers each day. The longest stage is 108 kilometers this year, which is the Queen stage, the volcano stage again, where we go up to nearly 4,000 meters on Nevado de San Luis. And we've got a few of the stages around 70, 80 kilometers, which are very demanding. It's not just the distance, it's you have to think about the terrain the riders are covering. Obviously, there's one stage, stage two this year, which is a brand new stage, river, where we follow the Cauca River. But it's obviously incredibly hot for some of the towns and countryside that we go through. So we always have to think about that and how the racers can recover. Obviously, around the race, there is sort of pro-level service, with masseuses and mechanics that make it a lot easier for the riders, but it's still it's a demanding challenge for anyone. I mean, we say just to finish the race is an achievement in itself. Some of our amateurs last year, I suppose one of our most famous amateurs is Nelson Cardona, who is he climbed Everest. I think I mentioned him last year with a prosthetic limb. He finished the race last year. So we know the race is achievable for amateurs. You have to be fit, you have to train, but if you turn up to it with the right attitude and, you know, you've done the adequate preparation, you should be able to finish the race, which is what we want, because obviously we want people to come back year on year, go around the world, tell their friends and their family how wonderful Colombia is, how hopefully how great that agenda is. And the greater you, the race grows year on year.
This is a, so you wanted to be demanding and you wanted to be a challenge, but you don't want to kill them. I mean, let's be serious.
That is definitely one of my goals.
Before
the race is happy and healthy.
Yeah. So wait, tell me, I mean, we mentioned there's 21 different nationalities taking place, but how many total participants do you have?
This year we've got 250 riders in total from 21 countries. So last year we had 140, and first year we had 60. So the race has grown substantially year on year, which is it's great for us. It shows that people approve of the race and they enjoy the race and they want to come. And it's really nice to see that races that we had in the first year, they came back last year with maybe another team, and this year they've got three or four teams of friends in. So it's nice to see that word of mouth is spreading around the race. And most of our riders are Colombian. Mm. Approximately 65% this year are Colombian riders. But then as well, we have races coming in from as far afield as Australia, from Japan, South Africa, many European countries. It really is a great, which makes us feel very happy, and we can't wait to welcome them all.
What I like about this and what I've seen is the continuity. I know you changed the race, its route a little bit. Of course, this is great. This needs to happen, as you mentioned. But the continuity, as you say, the Queen's Day, that must be the reference to the volcano, Nevado del Ruiz, overlooking. I mean, that's one major consistent, isn't it? But you do have new areas, like you said, and tell us more about that, this stretch along the River Cauca.
Okay, so I think this is definitely my favorite stage this year. It's called River. So we start in La Rochelle, where is our first destination, where we stay for the first two nights. And this is a Tuesday stage of the 31st of July. So instead of heading sort of northeast like we did last year to the town of Arantazu, which we still pass through this year, we're in stage four. On stage two, we stick to the Cauca River. So we pass through the town of Arauca, then through the town of Ira. And then there is a 16-kilometer single track, which as mountain bikers know, it's a lot. It's not like a dirt track. It's a much narrower piece of terrain. We actually pass through old train tunnels alongside an old train track, right by the Cauca River. So one of the biggest rivers in Colombia. We're going right alongside it. And then comes probably the hardest climb of the race from La Feliza. We have an almost 1,500 meter climb, I think it is, to the town of La Merced, which is like a mini Salamina, which is a town we finish in that day, and we spend two nights there like we did last year. But we know La Merced is going to be an incredible town to go through. I can already imagine the drone shots. You've got the Cauca down to one side, you've got this wonderful verdant green hillside around the town. And then we finish the stage with another descent and the final quite steep climb to Salamina, where I mentioned we finished last year. And we've got a different approach to Salamina this year. So we don't come in down the main road where we've got all the wonderful pictures from previous years. We're actually going to come up a bit of a steeper climb to the main square. And I can already imagine all the thousands of people lining the routes. And you'll get people trying to run with the racers and create this really sort of wonderful, like you see the Tour de France almost, when the spectators try and run with the riders. Yeah. Imagine that, and it'll create a really unique atmosphere. And from what we know, that doesn't really exist in other mountain bike races. So it's a very special experience for the riders. And, it's going to be a wonderful occasion. In Salamina, we stay there. We've got a revamped cross-country circuit the next day. And then we leave the town on the Thursday. We passed by Arantazu again, where we went on stage through last year, and then we finished in the town of Neira, which also has a very challenging uphill finish, which I'm sure will be similar to Salamina, with some crazy pictures and wonderful video footage of spectators and all the riders.
Well, I love this. I love this idea, of the people running alongside as they do. It's the image that I can, obviously conjure up from the Tour de France. And this is just, again, testament to how grateful and how excited the local Colombians in general will be with this. I mean, that's just showing the enthusiasm of, you know, the people in our adopted homeland. I guess you said this doesn't happen in other races, but of course it would happen in Colombia, because you know, when Colombians get behind something, they throw their all into it.
Yeah. We've got the Tour de France going on right now with, you know, Nairo, hopefully. We'll see how he goes this year. And then you've got the wonder kid for Sky now, Egan Bernal, who actually started off mountain biking, and we work with, or we support his foundation, the Mezuena Foundation, that he started mountain biking with. So that's, it's great for just promoting cycling in general in Colombia. We know that, like, if Nairo wins the Tour de France, that'd be the most perfect start for our race. We actually start on the day the Tour de France finishes this year, which was put back a week because of the World Cup. A big thing that we're trying to do is promote Colombia as a mountain bike and cycling destination. When you live in the country, you know how wonderful it is to be able to, every day of the year, you can go out cycling. You don't have to worry about summer or winter or spring. You know, we're in Cali here, we can cycle straight out of Cali, a 1,000 meter climb one side of the valley, 1,000 meter climb the other side. It really is an amazing place for cycling, and you know, we know more people are coming to explore the country. And mountain biking is obviously a bit of a different discipline. It takes us a bit longer to find these routes, but when we find them, and you know, you see the views and you go through these wonderful towns, we know it's a truly unique place to visit, and we believe it's, you know, the best country in the world for cycling. And you know, the more people that discover it via us or via the Tour de France riders, it's incredible for coffee.
It's excellent. So I know what we're talking about, all this stuff, and the website will be up on our Facebook page and on Twitter when we're promoting the show and so on. But you've had some pretty incredible sponsors this year. It's going from strength to strength, as we continue to say, but I'm sure you have to give some shout out and give my listeners an idea of the heavyweights that you've got behind the race now.
Okay, so we're obviously heavily supported by the Gobernas de Caldas and the Alcaldía de Manizales, who have been wonderful supporters over the last 2 years. They're sponsoring us via the drink Cheers this year. We have Avianca as a strategic sponsor. A big part of the race is bringing, you know, some of these top riders like Tiago Pereira, 2016 world champion from Portugal. Mm-hmm. So Avianca are very kind supporters. We've returned flights for his team. We've got Audi Colombia, Volkswagen, who are our new vehicle sponsors. We have lots of cars that... on the route, Café de Colombia. So Café de Colombia were very famous in the 1980s when the sort of first Colombians took on the European European road bike scene. So to have them back in a jersey is a very sort of iconic thing for cycling in Colombia. So Café de Colombia, it's great to have them. We've got a new jersey sponsor here, Capit, a wonderful company from Manizales. It's good for us to be able to support new companies, local companies that are trying to do the right thing. So we're very happy with Capit. And then also we've got the sponsors that have helped us through previous years. So Suerte, Specialized, there's many other sponsors. They're all on our website and we're all grateful to each and every one of them.
Fantastic. It really is. It really is just one success story after another for you guys. But of course, not without the actual hard work that goes in and the blood and guts that goes into, you know, the behind the scenes setup that you guys have to put together. And, you know, it takes a year to get the next year ready. I mean, I'm sure you said you're already planning for 2019. I'm sure you're already planning for 2021. It's amazing. And so I just take this moment to, you know, say congratulations to all of you and that huge team, small team and huge team, because I think it's a small team that you've got together putting the finer things in line, and then a huge team on when the event is actually underway. So, you know, my hat is off to you. I'm sure we'll have you back on in exactly a year talking about how you've grown again. But it's a real pleasure to have you talking about the La Leyenda. It's phenomenal. And so thank you for your time. time. Thank you, Dave, and thanks to Brian as well. You guys, you can check this out. Everyone, all of my listeners, you can check this out. We'll have the website up on the Facebook page. But again, quick thank you to Dave Proctor for his time and to Brian Murphy.
Thank you.
Your most
the about 2019 registrations released over the next few days, and we'll be opening registrations straight after the race this year. So if people want to take on Laddie in the next year, also after this year, they should pay attention to all the social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on the website for news very soon about that.
And then, Richard, yes. By the way, on our final day, the approaching to Manizales on the Champs-Élysées of mountain biking in Colombia, you're more than welcome to come down and join us today as our guest.
Oh, well, that's very kind. I would love to. And we'll see. We'll see August August 6th, you said?
Saturday, August the 4th.
Oh, August the 4th. Oh, well, there's another thing on. But anyway, I would love to come, but maybe I'll have to plan for 2019.
You're always welcome.
Thank you very much. We've been talking to Brian Murphy and Dave Proctor, the brains and the creators behind La Leyenda del Dorado mountain bike race, multi-stage, successful stories here in Colombia, people putting in their all to try and, well, to promote and effectively doing so, selling this country abroad in a favorable light. And that's what we like to talk about here on Colombia Calling. Yes, we talk about good things, we talk about bad things, but do good things, and I'll talk about those too. So this has been episode 237. A real pleasure to have the guys back on the show. I know you've enjoyed it. We'll be back with episode 238 in a week's time. I've got some very interesting people lined up. For those of you who speak Spanish or are planning on learning some Spanish, we have a new podcast starting up with a socio of mine, Jose Miguel Jaramillo, who is the brains behind the Urban Link fashion line and the Airbnb of commercial spaces. It will be called Urban Link Conectando Historias, and it will be in Spanish. And we're basically interviewing people in the startup industry here in Colombia, South America, and elsewhere, because we genuinely believe that Colombia is on the cusp of, you know, a real breakthrough when it comes to this startup and creative economy, the collaborative economy. But enough about that. I will tell you, of course, once that has been launched, but four interviews have already been recorded, and it's going to be a big deal. But thank you again for listening to this episode 237 of Colombia Calling about the legend of El Dorado. I'm signing off for now. Thank you again to Brian Murphy and Dave Proctor. It's been a great pleasure. That's all from Colombia Calling today. Bye-bye.